This is East Carolina Hall of Famer and Utah Jazz first round draft pick Blue Edwards. You're listening to Pirate Basketball Overtime on the Sports Subjective, your home for the best East Carolina hoops coverage.
Welcome. You've entered the home of the ECU Pirates. Pirate Nation, stand up and put your hoops in the sky. Let's make this competition feel what it's like to be surrounded. Y'all with me? Come on. Yeah. Let's get it started. Get your hands in your pocket. Turn up the volume. We're the bomb and you're the target. It's on. Mind blowing with the whatnots. Doing everything but stop. Trust dog, y'all ain't ready for this. High powered ECU's on fire.
Welcome in to Pirate Basketball Overtime right here on the Sports Objective. I'm Dave Richmond along with Bubba Rosema. What's up, dude?
Not much, Dave. I'm looking forward to watching a little football here. Surely the Boca Raton Bowl taking place in App State in Western Kentucky. Should be a very interesting matchup. App State has been tremendous defensively, you know, very solid against the pass. And Western Kentucky has thrown for over 5,500 yards this year. But App State does have Sean Jolly, their excellent fifth-year corner. He's missing the game due to academic issues. I think it was probably a situation, you know, where he knew he was moving on to the NFL after this year and, you know, made some poor choices as far as his academics are concerned. They also have a couple of reserve cornerbacks. So not exactly the team you want to be playing shorthanded in the secondary. So we'll see how things go. They'll need to really run the football well and, you know, keep the ball away from Western Kentucky.
No question, Western Kentucky with that great offense like you were talking about. Man, it's one of the exciting ones if you're a college football fan to see, no doubt about it. I noticed how you started off the show talking about football and unfortunately not talking about basketball as the Pirates go down 74-64. Really disappointing performance. I know that you didn't mean that intentionally, but I was.
Yeah, was that a dead giveaway that yesterday's game was very forgettable?
Yeah, or we're trying to forget it. I guess we obviously wanted to get a chance to get this in. 74-64, the Pirates go down in Charlotte. Our very own Bubba Rosenbaum lives near Charlotte, so you were there at the Spectrum Center downtown Charlotte. Beautiful facility. I haven't been there. You know, Bubba, I've been to many sporting events, and I'm a huge Hornets fan. I've never been to an NBA game, and hopefully that my son and daughter and I, we can go and see a game here sometime between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, I went to a lot of Hornets games growing up, but I've actually not been to a Hornets game in the new arena either. For that matter, you know, back before they became the Hornets once again, I never saw the Bobcats play. The only game I had been to at the Spectrum Center or Time Warner Cable Arena, as it used to be, was back when it was Time Warner Cable Arena, when App State came there to take on our Pirates, and Jeff Lebo and the Pirates got a big victory that night.
That's right. I forgot about that. You're so right. But very beautiful arena. Pirates, I felt like overall, I guess the one thing that you could talk about over and over and over again is shot selection. I know that we'll be playing the press conference you have from Joe Dooley. You were there. I was, as a Pirate fan, I'll just go ahead and say, first of all, I want to address some Pirate fans that think this is not the end of the world. I'm very disappointed, very hurt that we lost the game. I don't like to lose in tiddlywinks, much less something that's very important to me, like ECU basketball. And we are 8-3. The good news, Bubba, you and I were talking in the green room. We're going to go 9-3, hopefully. Anything can happen. You don't underestimate your opponent, but you feel like we have enough talent. Plus, the Pirates have played very well at home. So that would mean, if that's the case, 9-3 before conference play. And all the problems we had last year with the number of cases of COVID with this new variant going up, pray to God that it doesn't affect us for the basketball season yet again in 2022 for the 22 season of basketball, if you will, or the second half of the season. So I hope that doesn't happen, but I know the Pirates are going to be, I think we're in good shape for conference play. How about you?
Yeah, I think so. You know, fingers crossed, and the team's vaccination rate is, you know, everybody but one person. So that's great news as far as that's concerned. But at the same time, you know, I've talked to, you know, people, friends and family here recently, who, I mean, just in fact, one of those individuals yesterday tested positive and she was vaccinated. So, and fingers crossed that that is not something that affects anybody around the country and obviously our Pirates. You take a look at it in the last few days, and I think Seton Hall, maybe St. John's. So you've had teams in the Northeast, you've had teams in all parts of the country. I think maybe UCLA, Washington, I mean, all across the country, all around the country, teams are being impacted by the COVID-19 situation. And just hopefully that will be something that will subside. It's something I heard Morgan Ehlers recently and just saying that, I mean, it's going to be something, in my opinion, it's like the flu that we just have to learn how to deal with and avoid the best we can. And it's going to be interesting to see, though. I think the NFL is making some changes as far as the way it handles COVID situations. Be interesting to see what those changes are and how those situations are handled. But moving forward, how long, how many years are we going to continue to cancel games because of COVID rather than continuing to play on?
Yeah, I think that it's come to a point. I was talking about that in my real job yesterday, is the fact that, as you know, what I've had to deal with where I work for the last couple of years. And I made the point in the role that I play there at the hospital, the fact that we have to find a way that COVID is something that you and I and Kyle, we thought last year, like a lot of folks, that surely by football season for 2020, that would be over. It would be late summer, something like that. It didn't happen. Wishful thinking on my part. I won't speak for you guys. And then it's continued to go on. We're not going to spend a lot of time on the show for Pirate Basketball Overtime to talk about COVID. But Bubba, 800,000 people saw earlier this week. Now we surpassed that mark. So we're not saying not to take it serious. We're saying that we've got to find a way to take it serious without canceling games, because it could be going on for, it could be going on. Who knows? I hope that that's not the case, but you never know. But I tell you, one thing I do know is, Bubba, with basketball, turnovers are a key to the game. And I was just, I will say that what I was going to say for Pirate Nation is what I was disappointed was not the fact we lost the game, because Liberty is a very good team. What I was upset is we did not play very well at all. Our shot selection was terrible yesterday. I usually don't say those strong kind of statements, but I don't know if people are watching us, you know, if we get up here and talk about how great the Pirates played or they did their best, people would not watch us or listen to us anymore. So what I try to do is be, like the show says, we're objective, right? For the sports objective. And it was a bad day at the office for shot selection.
Yeah, it really was for the majority of that game. And going back to what you're saying, you know, it's all about the standard. And against Oklahoma, there are obviously things we could have done better. But that loss, as much as it sucked, it was much easier to deal with
Yes.
as far as getting over it than the losses against Davidson and Liberty, because those second halves in each of those games were absolutely pathetic. I know yesterday, Coach Dooley, it took forever for him to arrive to the postgame press conference. And that was not surprising after the way Pirates played. Really going back to the end of the first half, even though we led at halftime by, was it 35, 32, I believe.
Yes.
We had that 35 to 32 halftime lead. You really felt things were trending in the bad direction. And that continued on into the second half. But going back to the start of the game, you know, coming off a 10-day break, and Pirates had not played since December 7th. So very interested going in to see how the Pirates would handle the first part of the game. And really, on the whole, very well. Vance Jackson came in and knocked down a couple of threes. And I got there with, I think it was 14 or 15 minutes left in the first half due to some traffic I ran into, excuse me, on Interstate 85. But
No shocker there, right?
yeah, not a surprise. So my detour caused me to get there a few minutes into the game, but I was very excited when I walked in to see that the Pirates had a lead and led 10-2 early after Vance's pair of three-pointers. And then they're, I guess, just over midway through the first half, led 21-11. But from that point on, it was largely downhill. There early in the second half, Liberty started strong and came out. And this is something that Coach Dooley talked about in the post game. He had said it multiple times this season. We have such drastic swings within a game, you know, from poor play to absolutely pitiful play, you know, going from two up or three up to six or seven down in like a minute and a half or 2 minute stretch. We go from an A performance to an F performance in a heartbeat. And, you know, you saw that several times yesterday after we fell behind there early in the second half. We responded with seven quick points to retake the lead. But then Liberty answered right back with a 12-0 run. And one of the things that Coach said in his postgame remarks, some of which I'll read here in a moment because I was unable to upload that video, but you can go to our YouTube channel to see Coach Dooley's postgame remarks in their entirety. But one of the things that Coach said was he really felt like we showed a lot of offensive immaturity. And what he meant by that is, you know, just quick shots, poor shot selection, not running our offense, allowing Liberty's tough defense to kind of force our hand a bit. And whereas Liberty on the offensive end, they showed their experience. And even though the Pirates played pretty good defense at times, we had some breakdowns, left Darius McGee open a couple of times there late. He didn't shoot that good of a percentage. I think he was 10 out of 26 for the game, and then just 5 out of 17 from three. And, yes, that's not a mistake on my part, and that's 17 three-point attempts. They were laughing about it in the post game. His teammate, Shiloh Robinson, was giving him a tough time. He said, man, you really shot 17 threes today. But, yeah, he knocked down two big ones there with just over 4 minutes left after the Pirates had cut it down to four.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that, Bubba. There was that stretch that I told – this tells you exactly what you need to know. We cut it to four. It was a four-point game, and all of a sudden they go down. McGee makes a three, right? So that's a seven-point game. Now, what frustrates me, we're talking about shot selection and possessions. Well, what people don't realize is with – and you do, I know you do, and people probably watching, but Liberty – runs like that Princeton half-court offense. So it's like playing Navy in football. You know your number of possessions are going to be less than normal because they're going to eat up a lot of the clock, right? They're going to move the ball around. They're going to take a whole bunch of the shot clock, if not the whole, before they shoot the ball and really slow down the game. And the problem for us was they go down, they make a three. Then J.J. Miles runs down. It puts up almost like a prayer. It looked like that it was, like I was telling you, having a half-court possession and the shot clock is running out. You just have to throw up a prayer so you don't get a shot clock violation is what it looked like. Well, he throws up a brick. Then McGee gets the ball back. They get the ball. Liberty gets the ball back. He makes a three. So a four-point game all of a sudden quickly becomes a 10-point game down the stretch in the second half. And I thought that was when Liberty – really took over the game. I believe that I think there was five lead changes, two ties. And if you look at another thing, Bubba, that's frustrating is it wasn't too much of a difference. But when you look at how much we played with a lead, Bubba, check this out, almost 21 and a half minutes. It was 21 and minutes and 28 seconds we played with a lead. They played with the lead 16 minutes and 38. But what I'm trying to say is it's not like we were close, you know, and never had. We had the lead. It was a 10-point game, like you and I talked about last night, 21-11 at one point. I mean, the problem, I think, is that this team doesn't know how to close games. This team doesn't know how to handle when they have a lead. That's been a common theme all season long, and I'm just hoping that we can correct that, especially in conference play, because – we can go 9-3, as I said, on Tuesday. We can before the Christmas break, we can win 9 out of 12 games. That's great for non-conference. And Then, Bubba, as you mentioned, what is it, 6-12 we'd have to go, or what would that be for to have a winning season in the conference?
If we take care of business against Southern Miss, we'll be 9-3, and we play 30 ball games. So, you know, that means that we'd have to go 7-11.
7-11
in league play to be 16-14 going into the AAC tournament.
And so that would pretty much guarantee it. Even if we lost the first round and then that tournament, we would definitely have a winning season. And to me, that's—I mean—is it me? But 7-11 is so doable, considering I think we're I would say out of the 11, I would say we're probably sixth or seventh in the league is what I see us finishing. I'd like to see us obviously in that top half or even the top third, but. I don't see us as a cellar dweller, as I've said many times, the number 11. I think there was a lot of media that was lazy. They didn't do their homework and to see that we lost Jaden Gardner, yes, but we got a lot in return.
Yeah, no doubt. And some of Coach Dooley's postgame remarks, like I said, you can see those in their entirety on our YouTube channel. And the entirety was just about 3 minutes and 45 seconds. And Coach Dooley was very direct and very brief, as he was ready to get back to Greenville and get to work and turn the page and move on to Southern Miss after yesterday's performance. But he said, after a good start, I thought our shot selection was questionable. That really changed the complexion of the game. And the way they shot the ball and maneuvered on offense after halftime was very impressive. They threw the ball inside, and that really bothered us. I'm very disappointed with the way we played for about a 10-minute stretch there in the second half.
No question. And you know, possession after possession. And Bubba, one of the things that I look at in a team is the ball movement. And it just seemed like with our team, we were lazy. We didn't come to the passes. We were making like those cross court passes that are so dangerous. It's the worst pass. And when you're going side to side like that and you're making a pass, and it's like a quarterback trying to make something happen, you're a quarterback. It'd be like you, Bubba, throwing into like double or triple coverage. You're trying to – I know if it's the end of a game and you're trying to make something happen, but there were passes that were made that were ill-advised. And, you know, with the when it comes to turnovers, I know is something you wanted to talk about, right?
Yeah, the Pirates finished the game with 15 turnovers, so definitely too many. You want to see that down in the 10 to 12 range. But and like you said, it wasn't even so much the turnovers in terms of the number, just the way we were committing the turnovers. And then we had – it seemed like more than 15, but because like Coach Dooley said, when they chart things, all the bad shots, I would love to know when you add the bad shots on top of those 15 turnovers, what that number would be, because it had to be, you know, probably 25 or something.
Yeah, because, that, I mean, like I said, the – you can, as a coach, Liberty's a good team. So it's not like one thing I was going to go back to is talking about real quick with fans. You remember when we were losing to Central Connecticut State and some of the Coppin, I mean, no offense to Coppin State, but some of the teams we had no business losing to. Coppin
absolutely. I remember those trying times all too well.
Yeah. So we've had some really bad losses over the years. Liberty is a team that's gone to the big dance, so I'm not upset. Let me say again, I'm not upset that we lost to Liberty as far as being embarrassed. I don't want to ever lose a game. I want to go 30-0 if we can. That's virtually impossible. but I'm not saying it's okay we lost. What I'm saying is I'm just not happy with the way we played with a great team. And you know, you said it last night too, Bubba, so I want to give you credit. Look how bad we played, and we almost won the game. You know, we had times when we could have won the game. So that's what makes me happy is that we were – it's not like we were struggling and we tried to make it run at things. We actually had the lead for a lot of the game, and we had, you know, there towards the end, there was some possessions going down the stretch, like I talked about, that when we talked about shot selection. I mean, you can't make one shot. And that when you're living and dying by the three – then when you have a brick, then most of the time the other team can get a quick rebound and it's an outlet pass. And I know they don't necessarily play that way with Liberty. It's more of the, like I said, the Princeton half court. It's more of a slowdown like Virginia runs where now with Tony Bennett. And I know their coach at Liberty had work with Tony Bennett. So they have something similar to that kind of offense, but brick after brick after brick. We've got a really, really, when we want to win ball games like that, we can't just play wild and just throw up anything, right? No doubt about it. And Bubba will keep talking here, as I know Bubba may be having some technical difficulties, but certainly there we go. We got him back. Hey, Bubba.
What did I turn into about 50 different colors or something there?
Yeah, well, it's just frozen there for a second where I couldn't hear anything you were saying, so I apologize.
Yeah, I was trying to access the stats, having some issues, but yeah, definitely have to take better shots. We've hit on that a number of times, but one of the things we did do well yesterday, I think you had the stats in front of you, Dave,
yeah,
that we finished 15 out of 17 or something like that from the free throw line. So shot
free throws, right. 88. Really well. Yeah, that was one of the things I was going to say. One of the things that's always killed us in the years past, Bubba, and as the people watching know that I'm preaching to the choir, has been one of my pet peeves. It's a fundamental of the game. I call it special teams for basketball with free throws. 15 out of 17, which is 88.2%. You know, like, I'm not the numbers guy, as you guys know if you watch, and ladies know if you watch our show, Bubba is. But I know that 15 out of 17 is very good. And I'm really happy with that. Bubba, what I was not happy with is the when you look at the field goal percentage in the first half, it wasn't great. It was okay. Wasn't what I would like. 14 out of 33 in the first half for field goal percentage, which is 42.4%. You want to have, what, 50% or greater is what I've always lived by as a basketball guy, 50% or better, and you have 42.4. So it's not abysmal. The three-point line, 3 of 10, not great, 30%, but yet, I mean, that's you know, it's not the worst we've ever done. And then 4 out of 5 for the free throw line. We didn't get to – that was one of the things I wanted to talk about, Bubba, I forgot, is that stat shows you right there. We didn't get to the free throw line enough in the first half. We were living, we were playing really bad. Our shot selection, when we do the dribble drive and, you know, one of our guards is driving and they kick it out to JJ Miles, name the person, obviously with Vance Jackson having a great day, that's when great things happen or you get fouled. But when you're living and dying by jump shots and 3 points all the time and not getting to the line, it makes it very easy to defend if you're Liberty. And so we have Bubba there. We'll keep talking here. I don't know what's going on there, but overall, the for the game.
You got me now.
Yeah, I got you now.
All right. So you still got me?
Yes.
All right. Very good. All right. We apologize for the technical issues, but you know, taking a look at some of the team stats, Pirates finished the game just 37.9% from the floor, 22 out of 58. 5 out of 19 from 3, just 2 out of 9 from deep in the second half. We already talked about 15 out of 17 from the line. The game, it was a draw on the glass. Liberty and East Carolina each had 36 rebounds. Liberty had 16 assists to 13 for the Pirates. Let's see. Total turnovers, Liberty had just 11, while, like we already mentioned, East Carolina had 15. And then Liberty did lead by 15 there late when they went on a run after the Pirates had cut it to 4 with just over 4 minutes to play. They put.
Yeah, Bubba, you're exactly right. And one of the things I've lost you there for a second, if you can hear me. But the one of the stats I looked always look at is points in the paint. And Liberty had 38 points. We only had 24 for East Carolina, a 14-point differential there. They dominated in the paint, which means there's a high percentage shots. If those of you watching and listening to Pirate Basketball every time, you obviously care about basketball. So you know that we were not being aggressive and we were making way too many mistakes. And it doesn't take a genius, even if you don't watch or listen or care about basketball, that's easy to figure out that we've got to be more aggressive and we've got to get to the line more. And you have a guy like Tristan Newton. I think he's second in the league with free throw percentage, you know, 89 or 90. It's way high up there. So he's almost automatic. And if he can get to the line, a guy that's a big-time scorer for the Pirates, a guy that has really put his team on the back this year as much as we think of him, then we've got to have him. And I'll tell you another thing that I look at, folks, is the number of guys in double figures. You have Vance Jackson, individual numbers. He finishes the day with 15 points. Great to see him. Tristan Newton, I was talking about him. He has 15 points. In fact, he went 7 out of 8 from the free throw line, so very happy with him. One thing that was disappointing, though, is he only had 3 attempts for 3-point land and 0 for 3. That's one area right there that he's a sharp shooter. We got to have him. We had another one, J.J. Miles, nice, had 11 points. Great to see that. Tremont Robinson-White, love to see him have more points than he only had 6 points. Frank had 8 points. Great to see him back, Alonzo Frank. Felton, you know, brand new to the game. He and Johnson combined for – Felton had 4 and Johnson had none. And those are two guys that really, to me, have been a big part of this game and offense. I'll tell you another thing, folks. For me, when you look at – I know that he hasn't been healthy, I believe, but Brandon Suggs only had 3 points. You know, that's another guy that's a double-figure scorer. Bubba, I was going through the individual – I lost you for a few minutes here. Going through the individual stats there for the Pirates, I was just talking about how you have a great day as you were there at the game. Vance Jackson looked great with 15. What I was concerned about, though, is I was talking about the stats. You have 15 from Newton, but that's a little bit deceiving because he only had 3 when I was saying 3-point shot attempts, and he went 0 for 3, and that's something. He's a sharpshooter. You know, he could have had easily, if you think about it, he could have had one of those big days of 25, 28, 30 points if we had him shooting threes. So disappointing there. And Brandon Suggs, I guess, was he – you were there on press row, Bubba. How is he? I know he's had an injury. How did he – he only had 3 points, but I was just wondering if that's because –
He played 19 minutes, and I remember one time in the first half, he got a long rebound out by the 3-point line near the top of the key and just to the right of the top of the key. And, you know, he made an aggressive drive to the basket and, you know, got fouled and went to the line. So he seemed like he was moving well on it, like he was 100% or right at 100%. So I don't know if that coach playing in 19 minutes – you know, was because of that and just trying just more of one of those things, just the way that it worked out. But he seemed like he was moving pretty close to full speed, if not 100%.
I was curious. I forgot to ask you that last night. But this team overall, though, I think we're going to be fine. I really do. And I think that once this Pirate team, if they can continue to play, I'll say this, if we can get the consistency of this team not to make the mental errors they played, then they will definitely be have a really strong chance of a winning season. However, if they continue to play like this, we'll look back at this game and other games and saying shoulda, coulda, woulda, they could have easily won so many games. And I hope that it's not textbook Pirate basketball, meaning the way things have been in the past. I'm hoping that we can really turn the curve, especially when we know there's a chance, maybe, who knows what's going to happen to Dooley after the season. But certainly with everything that's with Pirate basketball, you know, that the tradition hasn't been there. So you're trying to build a culture, you know, with Dooley having trying to change the roster. And
you got me now?
Yeah, I've got you. I can hear you now.
Okay. No, what I was trying to say is that anybody that's, you know, down and giving up on this team because we're 8-3 with 3 losses by 10 points or less to 3 very good teams in Liberty, Davidson, and Oklahoma. I mean, how would our fans be acting? And this isn't, you know, rationalizing things. It's just the facts of it. I mean, you know, we're 8-3. We've beaten the teams that we should have beaten. Some we beat very soundly, which we have not done in the past, because in the past we haven't even beating those teams all the time the way we are this year. And then we did have some close calls, and like against Coppin State, where we won on the buzzer beater, that you would have preferred to win more comfortably, obviously. But at the end of the day, you know, we found a way to get it done. We're not to the point yet, and just yet, to where we can win those close games against good teams. I think that's going to come hopefully in the very near future, like it did for football. We shall see. But I just don't get why. You know, I was talking to some folks last night off the air, obviously, just on the ride home from the game. And once I had returned home, just the people's leash, you know, their tolerance for Pirate basketball is so small and such a short fuse. I mean, they've seen so much poor basketball down through the years that any time you see a performance like yesterday or in the second half of the Davidson game, you know, oh, here we go again. The Pirates suck again. The Pirates aren't any good. They just beaten a bunch of nobodies. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that we've won some games against great competition, because we haven't, but we've also taken care of business in games that we should have taken care of business in. So we've been very competitive against some very good teams, and we've had a chance to win all three of those ball games. I mean, and when I say that, I know we trailed by 15 yesterday in the final 3 minutes. I'm saying going into the final 5 minutes of the game, we had a chance to win. And then in two of those games, we had a chance to win in the final minute against Oklahoma as well as Davidson. So,
correct.
Yes, it's frustrating. It's extremely frustrating. But there's plenty of reason for optimism as well. So just hang in there and, you know, continue to support the team. And I think we'll have some more things to cheer about before this season's over.
No doubt. And I tell you what, Bubba, one of the things you and I have talked about certainly is to get our Pirates support. And the way we do that is if our team's winning or losing, let's get there. We've been running a great promotion now. Not us, I'm sorry, ECU Pirates. And they've got one for the holidays. I checked out, Bubba. I hadn't had a chance to talk to you about something you and I participated in a couple years ago. But how about this, Bubba? I want to give a shout out to our administration yet again, because you can get $8 tickets for the Wichita State game. Come on, are you kidding me? $8 tickets. And I'm talking about the lower bowl, something to hop.
I appreciate you bringing that up. I had not seen that. When was that released? Was that yesterday?
I'm not sure, but it's on. I just checked the tickets for I want to go to Wichita State that game. I unfortunately will be working. I can't make the Southern, you know, I'd be there if I could. I can't make the early game there, the Southern Miss, the manager, the matinee there for that game. But the Wichita State game, I want to be there. And the lower bowl is only $8 tickets, folks, $8. The students won't be there. Those like Bubba Rosenbaum, myself, a lot of us that are hardcore fans, let's get that lower bowl filled, because, you know, all the games are on ESPN Plus. Let's give a shout out to Patrick Johnson, a friend of the show, and same as Cy Seymour. You know, you always know Jeff Charles is going to do a great job. I think Michael Perry's done excellent on the radio. But sometimes we're not always fans. We love Nate Ross and some folks that have covered the games. But having Cy and Patrick have been great on the TV side. But how about for ESPN Plus? Let's have a rowdy crowd in the lower bowl. And again, only $8 tickets. It's ecupirates.com, or you can do 1-800-ECU. Get your tickets for that game. What are you going to be doing on that Wednesday night on the 29th?
Yeah, 2 days after the Military Bowl, hopefully. That would be very cool. Maybe this can be worked out with it being just 2 days later. Johnny chimed in saying that he saw that today regarding the $8 tickets for the lower bowl for Wichita State. But hopefully we will be celebrating a Military Bowl championship. Yes. And we can have the team on the court at halftime hoisting the trophy. And it sure would be nice, not only for the basketball team, but to have, you know, at least 5,500, 6,000, if not more, for that Wichita State basketball game to welcome the football Pirates back to Greenville. But as far as that's concerned, obviously that is just here a little less about a week and a half away now. We have sold.
I was going to ask you that.
We have sold right at 5,000 tickets to our ticket office, and then we're obviously selling probably a few thousand to the Military Bowl as well. So, you know, hopefully we'll have at least 8, if not 9 or 10,000 there at Navy Marine Corps Stadium on the 27th.
No doubt, it's going to be a lot of great things to do there in Annapolis. We'll try to keep our coverage going. I know the holidays, but we'll obviously have some more guests where that's concerned, maybe things to do. We'll do that, and maybe we can get some folks, Bubba, from the Naval Academy. We've been working really – I know you have behind the scenes on guests. We've got – this is such a tough time of year because it's great to have football and basketball. And Bubba, I know we got to wrap things up. Before we go, we got a big show tomorrow night, right? I don't know that we lost you, but we're planning on having a big special when it comes to the Crew 22, the ECU football signing class for 2022. And I know, Bubba, if we got you back now, we're planning on doing a show tomorrow night, right? I can't. All right, I'm having trouble with you. All right. But anyway, we're looking to do that, and we'd love to have you. We'll see about.
Yeah, I was trying to tell you to hold on for a moment. I had a phone call. So you saw me talking, but I wasn't talking to you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah. We've had technical difficulties so far. Sorry, folks.
You know, Stacy is right on cue. I mean, obviously, she had no way I'm doing a live show on my phone, but it was. But she'd been blowing me up for the last 5 minutes, so I figured I better answer to see what she needed. But yeah, we'll have the bowl show. We'll take a look at bowl games, but then primarily the Pirates signees. Take a look at this class. I think it's 18, according to what Coach Houston said on Wednesday.
That's correct.
When you factor in, you know, everybody in this class, but. And then there's still probably some more to come. And he said there's very likely to be some more additions between now and maybe the spring or at least August when the team reports. But something else, yesterday I wanted to mention this a moment ago when I was having some technical issues. You're talking about the game on Tuesday. It's great to see some former players yesterday. We had Reed Lowe's from the Mike Steele era in the building there at the Spectrum Center. Sam Hennett was down behind the basket near the ECU bench. I actually took in the game with Gabe Mikulas, and it was great to catch up with Gabe there. And I stayed and watched the Virginia Tech St. Bonaventure game, and then also the NC State game. And the Wolfpack did go down to Richmond 83-74. But yeah, as frustrating as some of these losses have been, you got to keep them in perspective. And yes, I understand where people are coming from with our history, but those losses, just like that history, yes, it can affect recruiting, our poor history, and like it's something that the staff has to overcome. But at the same time, the shortcomings of previous teams, they cannot be, you know, connected to the shortcomings of this team just because it's the same old Pirate fans doesn't mean it's, you know, shortcomings from the Raiders and so on and so forth that it's been historically. So just keep that in mind. I mean, what would our fans be acting like if Oklahoma had blown us out by 22 the way they did number 15 or 14, whatever they were at the time, Arkansas? Yeah. Oklahoma. And they beat Florida, who was at that point in time in the top 15. They beat Florida by 15 points or something. So,
and all three of those teams are Big Dance teams. They're tournament.
Dave, I got another call coming in, so you can go ahead.
All right. I was just going to simply say that all three of those teams, folks, are tournament teams. As, again, those that are probably watching and listening to this, we have the best listeners and viewers, obviously. They're way smarter than I am, but you should know that they're Big Dance teams. So it's not like we're losing to team cupcakes that we should easily beat like we've had in the past. And no disrespect to those, but losing to NAIA teams and Division II teams. I mean, through the years, there's been some embarrassing losses, and those three that we've lost to this year have not been that. So that's something to hang your hat on. And when you're building a program, as you know, you go from like we're the worst of the worst, and then you're now, I think the level we are now is competitive, where there are games that are 50-50 games, and like we've been dealing with on the gridiron with the Pirate football team as well. So we'll keep our heads up, and we're going to definitely look forward to the second half of the season coming up. We'll finish out the non-conference game again on Southern Miss, and that's on Tuesday afternoon. So if you have that day off, then go out there. I know Bubba's going. I think Gabe is going to be going too with you, right? You and Gabe checking out the Pirates, making the road trip to Greenville. So if you can make that, those of you that have time off, I wish I did. I'm not as lucky as Bubba Rosenbaum.
Gabe's making the trip down with my dad and I, and then I think my nephew Lance may go, and hopefully Riley.
That's awesome. So at least we know we can count on you guys. And again, get your tickets for Wichita State too. $8 tickets for when the students are not going to be there. That's going to be fantastic. Looking forward to that. Bubba, do you have anything before we go, my friend?
No, just if you're on the fence about going to the Military Bowl, you still can get those tickets. So do your best to get to Annapolis. It's it's from Greenville. It's 5 hours away at the most. And a lot of folks and a lot of Pirates up through Northeast North Carolina and the state of Virginia, I mean, they're within 3 or 4 hours of Annapolis. Right. So definitely make that trip. And this team needs your support. And let's do everything we can to help them get win number 8.
Sounds good to me. And as Kyle said many times before, it's only been done 11 times in the history of our program for football going back to 1932. All right. Appreciate all the viewed and that are with us today. And obviously, if you're in the archives or you're listening to this show, thank you so much. Appreciate us being, we're the original podcast of the Pirates, and we're proud to be doing very well. Thank you. And it's all because of you. All right. Until next time, Pirates lose again 74-64 in Charlotte to Liberty, the Flames. Pirate basketball overtime right here on the Sports Objective. Good day, everybody. And as always, go Pirates.